This is the North American Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the North America Debrief by Atlas News, where we cover this week's top stories from the region and give you in-depth analysis of their context and help you understand how it affects you. Starting off in a highly anticipated move, the Supreme Court is currently reviewing the decision by the Colorado Supreme Court to remove former President Donald Trump from the state's 2024 presidential primary ballot. The Colorado Supreme Court's historic 4-3 decision stemmed from a rarely invoked Civil War era clause in the 14th Amendment. This clause bars individuals who previously swore to uphold the Constitution from holding office if they engaged in, quote, insurrection or rebellion against the United States. The Colorado court argued that Trump's actions surrounding the January 6th Capitol riot constituted such an insurrection, thus disqualifying him from seeking office. Both the Colorado Republican Party and Trump's legal team appealed the decision to the Supreme Court. The Republican Party challenged the interpretation of the 14th Amendment clause, questioning its applicability and self-executing nature. Trump's team, on the other hand, focused solely on whether the Colorado court erred in excluding him from the ballot. The case presents a unique challenge for the Supreme Court due to the lack of clear legal precedent or established legal theories. While initial reactions suggest skepticism towards Colorado's ruling, the justices are still scrutinizing the extensive documentation submitted by both parties. Trump's legal team hinges their defense on two key arguments. Firstly, they attempt to downplay the events of January 6th, characterizing them as a riot rather than an insurrection, which wouldn't fall under the disqualification clause. Secondly, they argue that even if Trump's actions did meet the criteria, the decision to remove him from the ballot should rest with Congress, not individual states. Legal experts initially predicted a decision favoring Trump, citing the court's usual reluctance to get involved in political controversies. However, recent oral arguments raised doubts. While acknowledging the seriousness of the Colorado court's concerns, several justices questioned the authority of a single state to unilaterally remove a presidential candidate from the ballot. The court's final decision remains shrouded in uncertainty. Justice Kavanaugh's remarks highlight the dilemma, balancing the concerns raised by Colorado with the potential consequences of setting a precedent for state-level disqualification of presidential candidates. This case unfolds amidst another ongoing legal battle for Trump, where he seeks to delay or prevent a separate case related to election interference. Next, on February 11, 2024, a tragic shooting unfolded at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. The armed suspect, identified as 36-year-old Genesee Moreno, arrived at the church shortly after 1 p.m. Accompanied by a young child, she reportedly confronted a security guard before entering the building. Witnesses reported her claiming to possess an explosive device and spraying an unknown, harmless substance outside the church. Moments later, gunfire erupted within the church hallway. Two off-duty officers working security engaged the suspect in an exchange of fire. The suspect was killed in the shootout, while the child she was with sustained a critical gunshot wound to the head. Additionally, a churchgoer was injured in the leg but has since recovered. The motive behind the shooting remains under investigation. Authorities have not established any connection between the suspect and the church, nor a clear reason for targeting it. While anti-Semitic writings were found at the scene, their connection to the incident is still being explored. Further investigation is also underway to determine how Moreno, who had a history of mental health issues and past criminal offenses, obtained firearms. Houston police are actively investigating the shooting, focusing on piecing together the events leading up to the incident, establishing a motive, and determining how Moreno obtained the firearms. The investigation also involves understanding the extent of the child's injuries and ensuring their well-being. The Lakewood Church shooting serves as a stark reminder of the ongoing issue of gun violence in the United States. It highlights the importance of mental health awareness and responsible gun ownership. As the investigation progresses, the community grapples with the aftermath of this tragedy, offering support to the injured and remembering those affected. Next, the United States Air Force, USAF, recently announced a series of 24 key decisions aimed at bolstering its capabilities and readiness in the face of growing competition from China and Russia. These decisions encompass 4 main areas: developing personnel, generating readiness, projecting power, and developing capabilities. developing a more robust workforce, creating a unified training and development path for airmen under an expanded Airman Development Command, introducing technical career tracks for both officers and enlisted personnel, and reintroducing warrant officers in critical cyber and IT fields, implementing training focused on a diverse skill set necessary for wartime operational readiness, modernizing leadership training programs at various institutions to prepare officers for leading in a competitive environment, redesigning career paths within the Space Force to produce guardians equipped for high-tech operational demands, enhancing operational readiness, shifting the focus of Air Combat Command towards generating and deploying combat-ready forces, implementing large-scale mission-focused training exercises simulating complex military operations, incorporating surprise inspections and readiness evaluations to reflect real-world scenarios, restructuring processes related to spare parts and weapon systems to optimize their functionality and readiness, implementing standards reflecting operations under contested conditions within the Space Force, conducting nested Space Force exercises, implementing a series of progressively complex exercises within the Space Force, assessed through a data-driven process, projecting power more effectively, categorizing Air Force operational wings into distinct mission-oriented units, each with a tailored support structure, clearly defining the roles and responsibilities of combat wings focused on mission readiness and base commands focused on supporting operations, recognizing the growing importance of cyber warfare by elevating AFCYBER to a standalone service component command, establishing Space Force combat squadrons as official units of action, and completing the activation of remaining Space Force service components, developing next generation capabilities, establishing a centralized office within the Department of the Air Force, DAF, to lead capability development and resource allocation, implementing offices dedicated to analyzing resource allocation decisions and program effectiveness, creating a command focused on developing competitive operational concepts, integrated requirements, and prioritized modernization plans, establishing a new Information Dominance System Center within the Air Force Materiel Command, AFMC, to bolster focus on critical technological areas, expanding the Nuclear Weapons Center to become the Air Force Nuclear System Center within AFMC, and designating a Program Executive Officer for Intercontinental Ballistic Missiles, refocusing the Lifecycle Management Center within AFMC as the Air Dominance System Center to synchronize development and support of aircraft and weapon systems, creating an office within AFMC to provide technology assessments and roadmaps, facilitating alignment and integration of mission systems, establishing a Space Force Field Command dedicated to developing and validating concepts, conducting experimentation, and performing mission area design. The USAF's strategic decisions prioritize building a cyber-focused workforce, enhancing operational readiness for near-peer adversary conflicts, developing next-generation capabilities, and strengthening support for nuclear forces. These initiatives aim to ensure the Air Force remains a dominant force in the face of intensifying global competition. Now we'll delve into the recent case of Constable Eli Ndatuje, an Alberta RCMP officer accused of leaking information to the Rwandan government. We'll examine the details of the case, explore the wider context of foreign interference in Canada, and discuss the potential implications of this incident. Constable Ndatuje faces three charges: breach of trust, unauthorized use of a computer, and breach of trust with respect to safeguarded information. The RCMP alleges that he accessed non-top secret record systems and shared them with Rwanda, though the specific nature of the information remains unclear. The incident allegedly occurred in April 2022, raising questions about the delay in uncovering and charging Ndatuje. While details regarding the investigation's timeframe are scarce, it's worth noting that this case coincides with heightened concerns about foreign interference in Canada. Ndatuje's case follows several high-profile incidents raising concerns about foreign actors attempting to influence Canadian affairs. Just a week prior, former RCMP intelligence official Cameron Ordis received a 14-year sentence for leaking information. Additionally, leaked intelligence reports in 2023 suggested Chinese attempts to influence Canadian elections, and Prime Minister Trudeau cited credible information linking the Indian government to the assassination of a Sikh activist in British Columbia. While the specific details of Ndatuje's alleged actions and their motivations remain under investigation, This case highlights the vulnerability of sensitive information and the potential consequences of unauthorized access. It also adds to the growing body of evidence suggesting foreign actors may be attempting to exert influence in various ways within Canada. As the legal proceedings unfold, it's crucial to maintain an objective perspective and avoid speculation. The investigation and eventual trial will hopefully shed light on the specifics of the case and provide further insights into potential vulnerabilities within security protocols. Additionally, ongoing discussions and potential policy adjustments may be necessary to address the broader concerns surrounding foreign interference in Canada. Next up, confusion reigns following reports of a serious national security threat, allegedly linked to Russia. In this episode, we'll dissect the available information, explore varying perspectives, and attempt to provide clarity amidst the current uncertainty. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner ignited the controversy by publicly disclosing classified information concerning a serious national security threat. He urged President Biden to declassify all related details to facilitate open discussions and collaborative responses. While the precise nature of the threat remains shrouded in secrecy, defense officials suggest it involves a new Russian space-based capability. Speculations point towards potential anti-satellite weapons, space-based nuclear delivery systems, or even electromagnetic pulse, EMP attacks. The White House reportedly expressed bewilderment over Turner's public statement. They confirmed President Biden's awareness of the serious threat and ongoing engagement with relevant parties, including National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Senators Mark Warner and Marco Rubio, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, issued a joint statement acknowledging their familiarity with the intelligence and ongoing discussions with the administration regarding an appropriate response. They emphasized caution regarding potential source and method disclosure to preserve various response options. Politico's national security reporter, Aaron Banco, sheds light on the situation by suggesting the intelligence isn't a new, urgent threat, but a longer-term concern. She highlights the existence of multiple circulating versions and questions the rationale behind Turner's public disclosure. Speaker Mike Johnson attempted to quell public anxieties by emphasizing collaboration and steady hands at the wheel. He assured the public that relevant authorities are addressing the matter and urged calmness. Finally, the Biden administration is facing criticism following a federal watchdog report revealing shortcomings in the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, handling of migrant children entrusted to sponsored adults. The report highlights failures in conducting proper background checks and safety assessments of sponsors, raising concerns about child welfare. The investigation focused on a period in 2021 marked by a surge in migrants at the border, overwhelming HHS personnel. The report identified several concerning practices. In 16% of cases, sponsors lacked proper background checks or had illegible identification, raising concerns about potential risks to children. Mandatory check-in calls with sponsors, typically occurring within 36 days, were significantly delayed, averaging 122 days during the surge. Crucial information and documentation were often missing from children's case files and sponsor records. HHS acknowledges the shortcomings and emphasizes improvements made since the reviewed period, including enhanced training protocols, monitoring, and technological advancements. They claim the report represents a specific time frame of overwhelming caseloads and does not reflect their current operations. Despite the claimed improvements, the report has drawn widespread criticism from both advocacy groups and members of Congress. They emphasize the paramount importance of child protection and urge the administration to address the identified issues seriously. HHS maintains they have taken steps to prevent similar occurrences. However, advocates remain concerned about the adequacy of these measures. Additionally, a border bill currently stalled in the Senate proposes allocating more resources to HHS and overhauling the system for efficient and secure processing of migrant children. This report adds fuel to existing criticism of the administration's border policies, putting pressure on President Biden to collaborate with the Senate on potential system reforms. The Office of Inspector General report detailing the findings can be accessed for a deeper understanding of the specific concerns raised. The report highlights a critical issue regarding the well-being of migrant children entrusted to the care of sponsored adults. While the administration acknowledges past shortcomings and claims improvements, concerns persist, urging further action and potential systemic changes to ensure child safety and efficient handling of such cases. Thank you for listening to this episode of the North America Debrief by Atlas News. These have been the top stories of the week.